How you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Monday, the 13th of July, 2020, with me, Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 250, take three. That's going to have to do. I almost bit my tongue there. Not bad for a show that had all but finished with 2017's bumper Christmas annual, episode 200, that was. And as an old work colleague said to me, unsettling me greatly as he did so, I should add, when he asked me to make room for him at an office urinal back in the spring of 98. Be warned, it's a long one. Hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. I've got to try and just keep recording, try and keep talking, no long pauses, nothing. It's the day's cracking on. It's gone 1400 hours now. I'm trying to get this show out on time. Don't want to have the problems I had last week, more of which later. And the easiest way to do that is to keep talking and limit any editing. For some reason, I am able to do that with live shows. When it comes to pre-records like this, I can sometimes be all over the place. Early decision made this morning. I wouldn't be putting out the bins for the whole building again on returning from my run today. Someone else can do it this week. I've been doing it for weeks now. That's how I was thinking pre-run. I got back from my run about an hour and a half ago and I thought it's mostly young people or elderly people living in this building. One lot aren't up to it, the other just don't care. So I found myself doing the bins again just for peace of mind. The next place I live in, I think that needs to be full of my own generation. Maybe people like me who've been disappointed, who live relatively secluded lives. So unless they're actually alcoholics, the recycling bins aren't going to be as heavy as they were today, owing to loads of bottles of beer in there. It's never been something shared out fairly by residents in the building since I've been here. But now, during the pandemic, people are even less keen to be handling bins, which I understand, but I live on the top floor. No one's got a longer journey than me in this building. I have to go up from the ground floor to the top floor, remembering not to touch my face post-communal bin handling. Also, the gate is currently busted. It's a wooden gate. Often you're pulling the gate back when you're trying to open it and the wood's scraping the ground. Probably needs to be filed down, not something I'll be doing. I'm not watching another YouTube video to do more DIY. Needs to be filed down so it can be open and closed without the scraping. The scraping means that you're often brushing your clothes, or in my case, my bare legs, when venturing out for a run. You're brushing them against the gate. Again, potential contamination there. If you then touch your legs or your clothes and then your face, you know, it's all gotten so complicated. And I've got the longest journey of all from bin handling to get into your flat. And there's a guy and a girl across the landing from me to the other side of the neighbour that I don't think they run any errands for her. I think that's just Muggins here who has to do that. And in all the time I've been here, I've never seen either of those guys, the guy and the girl. I don't think they're a couple. I've never seen them putting out the bins. It's all a bit frustrating. I was in a shop last week looking for a phone holder for the running, and the store was packed with so many clothes racks. It was impossible not to brush past them. You've heard a lot about bookshops and how they plan on quarantining books that have been browsed by customers. And some weeks ago, you'd hear a bit about how clothes shops are going to deal with the gradual reopening of our high streets, how clothes shops would work in a similar way to bookshops. But you're not hearing so much of that now. And from what I saw in this store, people were still handling clothes, sizing them up, putting, say, a pair of shorts up against their waist to check how they'd look, then placing them back on the clothes rail, which I thought was poor, real poor. But there was no signage about telling customers what they should be doing. And WH Smith's, which, as I've said on recent shows, seems pretty dead right now, given that browsing is such a big part of its culture. You know, you go into WH Smith's more often than not just to browse through the magazines. You're waiting for someone to turn up at a station, or you're waiting for your train, or you're maybe even going to buy something sometimes. And now that you can't browse in WH Smith's, their stores are pretty empty, although I'm going by the one in Brixton, which is next to a tube station. But I would imagine that the WH Smith's on overground station platforms are far busier. But those WH Smith stores, to be fair, they're very clear with their signage, no browsing, don't handle anything unless you're going to buy it. I think closed stores need to take note of that. I think that's what they need to do to ensure that their customers and their staff are safe during these very strange times. It is Monday afternoon, well over 24 hours now since I've spoken to anyone as I record this show. The last person I spoke to yesterday morning, just before 900 hours, that was like small talk, the news agent. I picked up the neighbour's paper. I'd noted that he'd wasted no time at all in cutting his hair. Now the barbers were open. He was wearing a mauve baseball cap, but I could see underneath he'd had the usual impressive undercut. He was actually still putting the papers out. I mean, I'd got up before 8. He hadn't opened till about 8:20. And when I got there about 40 minutes later, he was still sticking the papers out. So I let him continue with that. And he knew that I was buying the Neighbours Daily Mail or Mail on Sunday, whatever it is. And he just handed it to me from where he was standing. I had the correct change. And as you know, I tried to maintain my social distancing. I think looking at the latest direction, the latest guidance from the government today, they're talking about possibly making face masks mandatory for shops. I already do that, except in the shop across the road, because it's a bit silly on my part. That just might feel a bit rude, given that he's not wearing one or his colleague isn't wearing one. And I'm talking about like small talk and now like small talk. But I think maybe from the weekend onwards, I think I'm going to be going in there with a mask. It's going to be awkward at first, but I'm just going to say to them, look, this is what they're saying. I'm doing it out of respect for you. I took the clippers to my hair again at the weekend. That was the plan, regardless of it was nothing to do with me seeing like small talk had had his hair cut. It was just always the plan. Less successful this time, just 2 weeks on, probably not enough hair to shave off. That's the thing, particularly. I think you got two types of white guys when they shave their hair. You got the ones who have bushy hair, curly hair. So when they shave it, it grows out and it starts to grow out. It looks better. If you've got straight hair like me, when you've shaved it, it can look brilliant. Hopefully, mine has looked brilliant. When it starts growing out, it looks absolutely rubbish. So I wanted to avoid that look, and I think I was starting to be a few days away from that. But the problem with getting the clippers out just 2 weeks after shaving it all off in the first place is there's not actually much to shave off. And the front of the hair, the sides were brilliant. I mean, if there was a barber shop that specialized, or if it was a thing in the world of barber shops, just having the sides of your hair done, I think I'd make a fortune. It was really impressive what I did. But it was much harder work shaving the top. And the back was just an absolute nightmare when I was getting that mirror that I'd bought from Poundland and trying to see the back of my head with that mirror at one point. And for a considerable time, actually, no matter how many times I went over it, it looked mangy. And the downside of that is it can grow back uneven. And it has been. You know, I noted that with the first cut. That's the downside of doing your own hair. After a few days, it doesn't look so great. By the end of Saturday's cut, I had thought that I would be done in 20 minutes. It was coming up to an hour and a half on Saturday evening. I was losing the light. You know, it's a small bathroom. There's only two lights working in there. By the end, I think, even though I charged it for a while, I'd started charging it the day before. The clippers had gone flat. I also use my beard trimmer, though, for a closer shave. I was definitely taking off scalp at the end. I could see that. So it was more of a scrape than a shave by the end. So it was far easier first time around when there was more to work with, as I say. Wasn't easy. Maybe I was overreaching. Maybe I was a little too optimistic, thinking that I could do my own hair every couple of weeks. I reckon looking at 3 weeks, every 3 weeks. And there were moments on Saturday evening where I found myself thinking that I wish I had someone to do it for me. But then, knowing how anal I am, that wouldn't be a pleasant experience for that person. I know myself well enough to know I'd be very, very difficult. It would be very difficult to satisfy me if you were the person with the clippers, whereas me doing my own hair, I know that I can only blame myself. Any frustration is with myself. The end result of which is a sore scalp, a cut above the left ear. I'm having to wear my glasses as I am right now, higher above the head. And this morning, just before I went for the run, I was coating my skull in sun factor 50, making sure that I'd rubbed it in properly. I think I just tapped the mic there. Sorry if you heard a noise. Making sure I rubbed the sun factor 50 in properly. So I got the mirror, checked the back of the head again, saw a line above my ear, and I thought, what's that? Do I need to get my trimmers out and, trim that bit of hair? Is that hair there? Why does it look darker there? And it was actually just an indentation from the arm of the glasses, the right arm of the glasses. I've been chucking on talc on the back of the neck to calm it down. I've been putting shaving balm down there at regular intervals on the neckline and the back of the scalp, because again, I don't know whether I'm going against the pattern of where the way the hair's growing. I don't know if I've got that right. I've just been going back at the front of the hair. I've been going back with the clippers. The side, I've been going back as well, but I think at the back I've been guilty of going up and down, and then at the front of the skull, you could actually see. You might actually think that I've got CVG scalp, which is, that cerebriform look, like a brain look, where you've got these furrows and you've got hair growing in the furrows because the furrows are so deep that the blades can't get in there, and that is because normally I'm trimming with without the blade. So I've taken all the blades off, so I'm just using the actual blade on the clipper itself. And then I stuck the number one back on, and it just left some tram lines in the hair at the front. So I think I learnt a lot on Saturday, and the biggest lesson of all was that maybe shaving the hair every 2 weeks is not a good thing, that I probably need to do it every 3 weeks and spend a few days at the end of every 3 weeks just with my hair looking a bit crap. Look, I've just come back from a year with a mullet and a bouffe on. A few days with hair looking a little spiky, I suppose. I can live with that, I think. Just a little bit of housekeeping, a bit of housekeeping issues with the upload of last Monday's show for the first time, I think, since February. So I'd been lucky, and typically of me, I'd never got around to resolving the issue. I was also having issues uploading it via FTP, so I was able to get the file into the platform provider's site via FTP eventually, because even my FTP login details weren't working properly. But then I wasn't able to import the show at the platform provider's end, all of which is very boring to you, but it's just a case of saying, look, this is what happened last week. This is why the show didn't come out everywhere until Tuesday morning. Patrons heard this on Thursday's show. I did say on that show, episode 249, that I'd have to mention this on today's regular episode. Two, just bear in mind that if you're someone who listens to the show on Monday evenings, that if you've not found the show on a Monday evening at your regular platform provider or podcast provider, should I say, you can always find the show, of course, at patreon.com/DRT available. Patrons are never going to have a problem getting the show. You'll also find it on the website under latest news, danielbrewstyson.com. But you'll also find it at two sites where the show never, and I do mean never, gets any plays: Mixcloud and Soundcloud. Those are platforms that don't rely on picking up the podcast feed via Apple Podcasts or via my platform provider. So I have to upload the show manually on those four sites mentioned. So if you want the show on the day and it's not there by any chance, that's the fallback. Patreon.com/DRT available, DanielRuizTyson.com under latest news, and Mixcloud and SoundCloud By the time I edit this, it'll be close to 5 p.m. on Monday, I think. So if things go wrong again, I'll probably have to wait until tomorrow to resolve them. I'm hoping that to complete this special episode 250, the show, I'll be able to upload it as smoothly as I'm normally able to do. Ways to support the show. iTunes reviews, look, Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to call it, the iTunes store. This is just 30 seconds of your time. If you're a long-time listener, but you've never left a review, if you do download the show via Apple Podcasts or you have an Apple Podcasts account, even if you listen to the podcast via some other more modern podcast provider, iTunes are still the kingmakers when it comes to podcasting, and it has become so difficult for little indie shows like this to survive the onslaught of commercial shows, which often have up to a dozen people working on them. This is just a one-man band. A review is going to take 30 seconds of your time. It would be massively appreciated, and it increases the show's visibility in the iTunes store, because at the moment this audience isn't growing. So if you're able to do that, it is just 30 seconds of your time. I'd appreciate it. I hope you understand why I'm asking. Other ways to support the show: Amazon shopping. If you go to danielruizthyssen.com, click on the Amazon link on the homepage, that takes you through to your Amazon page as normal. Amazon recognizes you've come through a link from my website and kicks back a small percentage of your purchase back to my work at no extra cost to you. Also, at danielruizthyssen.com, there are PayPal and Ko-fi.com links. If you're not sure about committing to the Patreon page, if you just want to make a one-off donation and get that week's Thursday bonus episode, if you click on either of those links, any donation, large or small, I will we transfer that week's bonus episode to you that same day. And most importantly, though, the best way to support this work is via the aforementioned Patreon page, patreon.com/DRT available. You get a bonus episode every Thursday, which may well be the most interesting show of the two that I'm doing every week. It's a little more intimate. I tell you all about the prescription drugs in my system, what I'm taking, why I'm taking it, what it's doing to me, how it makes me feel. I give you the latest Star Wars football updates, which are filling in nicely for the cafe in this pandemic era. It is always important, I think, to have strong understudy features. It's a single tier of support at the moment, just $7 a month, and you get in nearly 2 hours of content at the moment every week. That page is looking very lonely at the moment. Do please have a think about it. Patreon.com/DRT available. Sign up. If you don't like it, you can always change your mind. I spent 9 months sleeping under a desk from 2018 to 2019. It's not going to kill me if you change your mind. Join the 16, keeping this show alive. You won't find many better deals out there. And, I'm not going to try and flog you a mattress during the show. It will also give me an idea, a better idea of what my pulling power might be in the world of podcasting as I contemplate launching a big show. What I don't want to do is to launch a big show and find that it's not a big show after all, and that I now find myself committed to doing another show which has as little traction as this show. One small show is more than enough, I think, in my life. Moving on, Thursday after episode 249, this is last Thursday. Once episode 249 had come out or dropped, as super cool media types say, I took a walk to my aunt's and uncle's for bubble trip number 4. Discarded disposable surgical masks littered my route. Looks like they'll be joining discarded laughing gas canisters and that Lambeth Hall of Fame visual, the discarded chicken box, as staples of Lambeth Street sightings. The concierge at my aunt's block let me in, recognizing me despite the drastic haircut and the face mask. And I wondered how he'd recognize me. Was it my gait? How? How did he recognize me? Was it the fact that he recognized the clothes I was wearing? Obviously, I'm not someone that updates their wardrobe regularly. Maybe it was that. Once I was allowed in, there was an awkward moment as the lift came down. There was a guy who was ahead of me. He had a few bags on him. I was hoping it was the bigger lift that arrived first. The bigger lift. There are two lifts there. The bigger lift is designed for things like coffin transportation, and it was this lift that arrived first. I haven't had to get into a lift with anyone since launching my bubble, and I was curious, if also a little worried, I suppose. I had no idea how this would work. I thought, it's going to be rude if I don't get in with this guy. I'm going to come across as paranoid. But it was him. We were both masked up. It was him, I should stress, who decided not to get in with me. As is often the case, once I got up to the 11th floor, I had to ring the doorbell several times before anyone answered. I could then hear my aunt and uncle shouting. They'll spend a lot of time shouting and still not actually open the door. And eventually the shouting died down, the door was opened, my uncle was upstairs, he was blaming my aunt for not hearing me, and my aunt was blaming my uncle because she said he'd pulled the front room door closed when he'd gone upstairs. So it was kicking off as soon as I got there. My uncle came down, he was shaking his head. Whenever I find myself thinking during this lockdown how difficult it's been to do this alone, to get through this alone, 5 minutes with these two, just 5 minutes, and I find myself relieved that I wasn't locked down with a partner if we'd had this kind of relationship. If they weren't octogenarians, I think these two would be in the divorce courts, and I do recognize something of myself in their relationship. You know, I've had those fraught relationships where you're just constantly rubbing each other up the wrong way. Given that, I think as difficult as this period has been, it was probably for the best for me to be isolating alone. My uncle pulled the front room door to again as I went into the kitchen to make my coffee. My aunt snapped at him again. She says that since returning from hospital, my uncle has become obsessed with closing this front room door. And my uncle insisted it needed to remain closed because since coming out of hospital, he generally feels very cold. He's certainly not himself since coming out, I know that. I told my aunt, just let him have the door closed. It's not going to kill you. But any change there, anything that he does, anything that he tries to implement, if he has an extra biscuit, if he has an extra cake, she's just on at him right away. We've got a system established now when I turn up. And I'm pleased that we established this within a handful of bubble visits. It's to me, it's impressive anyway, I think. When I turn up after removing my shoes, you know, we always go through that rigmarole where my aunt says, "Ay, qué ves, de niño quitándose los zapatos otra vez." You know, "Oh, look at this kid always taking his shoes off." "¿Para qué te quitas los zapatos? Why are you taking your shoes off?" It's just something that I do. We always go through this. So eventually, I take the shoes off. I'm walking into a kitchen, mindful that everyone else might have their shoes on anyway. I might as well be walking in the street at that moment. And my aunt turns on the tap for me in the kitchen. She pumps the hand wash into my hands, and I wash my hands like that so I'm not touching her taps or hand pump. As soon as I'm coming in from the street. So I think that's very good. I then, after making my coffee, had to call my aunt's dentist to try and get her an appointment. She has been trying to get an appointment since they reopened. Couldn't be done because of her age. The only way they said that they'll see her is first thing in the morning before any other patients come into the surgery because she's in that vulnerable category. And right now they don't have any early morning appointments, so I needed to call back later in the week. My aunt didn't even turn the TV down as I was on the phone. I was trying to get all the info from the dental surgery, and it was just so hard to hear what was being said to me on the phone, and I was getting a bit irked. And at one point, I apologized to the person at the other end of the phone because I knew I wasn't coming across very well, and it wasn't their fault. It was the fact that I just couldn't hear anything. At the Wheel of Fortune, the Nikki Campbell era. I don't even know if that show's still going. I know that Bradley Walsh took over from Nikki Campbell a long time ago. The Wheel of Fortune with Nikki Campbell and Jenny Powell, that was on. These episodes are 20 years old or older, and I'll tell you why I know this. I know this because that show always reminds me of when my mum passed away. certain shows and events from early 2000. They do bring it all back, and Wheel of Fortune is one of the big ones. I remember just before my mum passed away, and I'm talking about the weeks leading up to it, Nicky Campbell was doing his final shows. Bradley Walsh, as I said, he then took over, and my mum caught the first, she was still around for the first Bradley Walsh episodes. And the one thing that I was watching at the time was The Vice, an ITV cop show with Ken Stott, which was a really good show, actually. I was taping that. I'd watch it in the afternoons before my mum watched her triptych of Mediocrity, Wheel of Fortune, Neighbours, and Home and Away. Another thing that I remember from that time is that Mike Tyson came to Brixton exactly 4 weeks before my mum passed away. So all these recalls were pouring through my head as my aunt was watching the Wheel of Fortune and I was trying to listen to what the dental surgery was telling me. I severely limit my fluid intake before visiting my aunt and uncle. Chances are that they don't know about the bathroom etiquette that the government has advised on, I think, a few weeks ago. I'm not even sure if that applies to bubbles. I remember that it was about a month ago when the government issued the latest guidance at the time on being able to visit people to say be in their garden. So you'd go to their houses, but you'd actually stay in their garden. But if you use their loo, you had to clean it afterwards, which would have made for the most awkward conversations, even if you'd known these people all your life. And it makes me think, did that even happen once in the UK in the last month? Did someone actually visit someone's house, ask to use the bathroom, and then had to clean the loo before they went home? It's a really strange one. Nicola Sturgeon, the SNP leader, for any international listeners, she said, and I'm paraphrasing here, she said, if the chances are you'd need to use the loo where you're going, then you're travelling too far. And I think that is brilliant advice. So I'm unsure as to how it all works with bubbles. I've not risked using their loo since I've got my bubble off the ground. I'm not going to ask my aunt and uncle for bleach and antibacterial wipes afterwards. I don't need that to be one of the most interesting things to happen to me on any given week. Craftily, I have wondered if my aunt and uncle might even be aware of this bathroom etiquette, considered whether I should just use their loo if my bladder needed a quick release before I made my way home. And then I find myself thinking, well, the pair of them might be absolute nut jobs, but don't underestimate them. They watch a lot of Spanish news in and around the crap that they do watch. And maybe the same bathroom etiquette system is loosely in place in Spain, so they'd know if I used the loo, it would be a significant breach of etiquette. Maybe I'd re-emerge to find one of them has left bleach and wipes and gloves outside the loo for me. Or while that wouldn't happen, they'd know what a visitor is meant to do after using their bathroom. And once I left, they'd express their disappointment that their nephew hadn't set about cleaning everything down before they left. So I think with all that in mind, it's just best I feel to continue limiting intake of fluids before I visit them. Good news, the urinating man, well, good news for me, the urinating man of Stockwell, SW9, my aunt's neighbour, and not to be confused with the still AWOL since 2013, urinating dwarf of SW8, etc., etc. SW9 and his wife are returning to Spain for the summer, as they normally do around this time of year, then they're likely to be back before Christmas. That is one thing about that generation of Spaniards. They have always been obsessed with a British Christmas. It's something we do far better than they do. And they're kind of caught in two minds these days. They have the Three Kings thing, but they also celebrate Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But there's nothing still for them in their eyes that can compete with our Christmases. I think, though, if they'd actually spent either of the last two Christmases with me, they might have reconsidered that long-held view. So I would imagine, anyway, that they'll be back before Christmas. I said a week or two ago that one of the pluses of the pandemic has been that in entering my aunt's building with a face mask, that for me is the perfect way not to have to interact with the urinating man. though, given the concierge was able to identify me through my mask, I'm now worrying a bit that SW9 would also suss it was me. What can you do? The Sound of South London, episode 250. This wouldn't be a milestone episode without this. These guys, you never see them on the streets, you just hear them now. Always in their cars. You never see a police officer on their beat, walking a beat, as they used to when I was a kid. Cliche, cliche, cliche. Okay, where was I? Just talking about the urinating man. These guys, they always cause me to lose my thread. I'm not going to edit this out. Okay, so I was talking about the concierge being able to identify me through my mask, and I was saying that that left me worrying whether the urinating man would also be able to suss me behind the mask. Yeah, that's where I was. So, however, interestingly, on my way back home last Thursday evening from my aunt and uncle's, and I was still face masked up, walking into Brixton, it starts getting busier. So I just put the face mask on. The pavements can be very narrow as well. So all the more reason to mask up. And obviously with the shaved scalp too. So I'm less easy to identify. And I really put this to the test. I walked past one of my best friends who was making their way home from work. I haven't actually seen them for a year. I walked right past him. He didn't recognize me, and I continued walking on. In one respect, I was pleased that here was proof that with a face mask, I could avoid all small talk. But I was also a little sad too that I didn't feel that I could stop and talk to this guy because of how I'm feeling right now. And I think also in that a small part of that, I think, was that I would just find it so strange to be socially distancing with someone I've been close to for 25 years. We've travelled abroad together. We've spent loads and loads of time together. And here we are in the street having a very strange encounter. And for me, in my life, the way I'm living my life with very little interaction with people, that would be a big thing. Now, if you're maybe a bit more normal than me and you've still been having interaction, limited interaction with friends and family, and you're phasing it all in now and you're doing the social distancing thing, then it's not going to be such a big deal for you because you've still got all these people in your life. But for me, I don't. So that would be a very striking exchange. And I'm not sure it's an exchange that would make me feel any better than I do. I have been masking up a bit more, not because I'm convinced that they work, but I have noticed that when I've got the mask just under my chin, so I don't have to put it on from scratch when I go into a shop, I've noticed that elderly people in their masks have got a little alarmed when they've seen me walk in their direction unmasked. And I noticed that last week, particularly one incident with an elderly woman waiting for a bus as I walked past her bus stop. So from that, I just told myself that out of respect for the vulnerable, I'll wear the mask as often as I can. Because, imagine being old. That's scary enough. But now your life is closing out with this dramatic turn of events. It's one more thing. It's a significant thing that could end your life. You dream of dying in your sleep, and that dream right now is severely threatened. So it's not going to kill people like me to wear the mask. Well, it might, it still might, but you know what I mean. You know where I'm coming with this. I've been listening to so much stuff on the pandemic, possible origins, the future of this, leading epidemiologists saying, I checked the pronunciation before the show. I'm not sure I said it correctly, but I'm just going to leave it there. I practiced it enough, and it's something that I'd actually nailed a few weeks ago. And I'm not confident I got that right. I'm going to leave it in there and I'm going to carry on. These shows, the general consensus being that we're going to have to learn how to live with this. The chances are that we'll all get it at some point. And that's something that hasn't really fazed me because I was working on the basis that that would leave me immune to getting it again. And of course, it doesn't look like that's necessarily going to be the case. A piece in yesterday's Observer says that early tests of those who've had the virus suggest immunity doesn't last more than a few months, so you could get it again, like the flu. And I think for me, that's the most worrying development that I've heard yet. And then I was Now, this wasn't actually a radio show. This was Newsnight one night late last week. One of their regular guests during the lockdown, some professor, he was saying that one, we should be wearing masks, but two, they need to be disposable masks rather than these fabric masks, which are they've become quite fashionable. The latter, he said, i.e., disposable masks, the problem is that they're the better masks to wear, but obviously they're the masks that you're going to have to keep paying for. And that may not be possible for some people because it is another cost to add to all your regular costs, all your outgoings. And that's going to be a recurring cost going by the way things are going. So that's something that was concerning him. I bought a pack of disposable face masks. I think it was 20. It was a pack of 20. I bought them about a month ago. I remember mentioning them on the show. And a week later, while still relatively cheap, the same deal had shot up by over £1. Meantime, while you can still get something like 20 fish fingers for under £1.50 in Lidl, a pack of disposable face masks will set you back almost £8 in the German budget supermarket giant. Meantime, I listened to another show on the World Service yesterday. It's a great station, the World Service. I think for me, I'd possibly take it over 4 Extra and Radio 4 as my favourite BBC station. It's got some brilliant stuff on there. I mean, I think I listened to about 20 episodes of Hard Talk last week, and some of the best episodes on there are just they're just brilliant radio. I was listening to, I think it was a show about the frontline services yesterday on the World Service, an audio diary kept by a doctor, I think might have been in the Bradford area. And the end of the show was a really hard listen. It caught me really unawares because you're just used to watching stuff on the virus every day, listening to stuff on the virus, and it's become part of our lives. And it's very hard, certainly for someone like me, I think sometimes to connect with these stories because I'm isolated and alone. So in a way, I've been protected from a lot of that. And the end of that episode was a really tough listen. There was this elderly guy who'd survived the virus. He'd left the hospital, he'd been interviewed for the show, and he sounded really chirpy, understandably. He'd lost his wife, I think, a year earlier. He lived with his son and daughter-in-law, and he'd recovered, but he ended up having to go back in a few days later and he passed away. And it was really tough hearing his daughter-in-law being interviewed by the doctor. She worked at the hospital and they were colleagues. And he was interviewing her, and he was really down about what she was going through, understandably. She broke down in tears, and this was just hours before the guy passed away. And it was just, it was a hard listen. It was a really hard listen. And one of those things that I felt, if you've got a choice, you should listen to something like that. It was very interesting. There was a very revealing moment for me. They mentioned at the start of that show choirs are super spreaders. And there was one choir that had a member who'd returned home from Wuhan in December and they'd fallen ill. And then the virus ripped right through that choir. Now, if you've been catching up with the show or listening to the show since it returned after its 22-month break last autumn, you might remember the various hospital trips that I had in the first few weeks of the show. I was finding myself struggling to shake off an infection that was affecting my breathing so badly that I'd stopped running for a couple of weeks. I was on two different lots of antibiotics. I'd been called in on the Friday evening by the hospital to go and collect some more antibiotics. They weren't happy with my tests. My breathing on the show in the form of waveforms when I was editing, I don't think my breaths have ever been bigger. The spikes were massive. And I just thought it was an annual winter thing. And eventually I got over it. But I do wonder about that particular illness more and more now because I've never had anything like it. I'm not saying it's the worst I'd ever felt, but I'd never had a flu that had taken me so long to shake off. And I remember the doctor's words on one of my many visits during that period to the hospital, where she said, "We're seeing a very different strain of flu this year." When she was trying to explain to me what might be going on with me and that it was nothing to do with the asthma, which is, when I started to get worried because, if it had been the asthma, it's mild asthma, they can control it. But everything that I was on for the asthma, most of which I don't have to take now, It was doing the job. The asthma was stable, but this was something else. And it just does make you wonder, as they, I think there was a line in this show or another of the many shows that I listened to just yesterday, that when you have something like this happen, that as you start to look at it, as you start to look at the origins, you keep going further back in time and you will see burn. I think the term they used was burning embers, little clues. So you think, for example, it started here. Well, actually, it started two or three steps back, and you keep just going further back, finding all these little clues, all these little links. There was also a bit in this World Service show, equally disturbing, really, for the low key, where you heard some virus survivor being clapped off the ward by the staff who called him the miracle man. He'd somehow survived when they were certain he was a goner. The virus had claimed his mum and uncle as well. And I heard the clapping and I heard the guy getting emotional. And I thought to myself, being an introvert, being someone who values being low key, I wouldn't want to be clapped off the ward if I was in hospital struggling to beat this thing and then they're sending me home because I've beaten it. I think the clapping would be enough for me to fall ill again or pretend I was still ill, see if I could pull it off just to, just to put off the clapping. I don't want to be clapped out of a hospital. Just wrapping up with my aunt and uncle now. I can hear another police siren in the background. Let me just see if I can carry on. My aunt and uncle had gone to get some fish earlier that day. This is Thursday, I think. And my aunt told me that the cafe, which is next door to where she gets her fish, is open. She said they had less tables than normal outside, but added that there were a few people there. It's way too early for me to consider returning, but at the same time, I do want to be able to support them. But it is just a minefield right now. I had a call from Mickey Blue on Saturday night, big drinker that he is. Obviously, a guy who's had to work through this pandemic because he works for the council. His job has changed a hell of a lot. He runs lots of errands for the elderly, and he's a big drinker. He'll always he'll call me late. Late at night, and I can tell from his voice that he's just absolutely hammered. And he'd already been into one of the local pubs in SW8, and he says that on the Saturday they were absolutely rammed with people. And then he was in there on the Sunday, and the police and some safety inspector had turned up. They paid a flying visit just to check how things were going in there, and that he said that the landlord, understandably, the pub landlord, was relieved that the police hadn't turned up on the Saturday night just because of how many people were in there. And it's going to be very difficult to say to Mickey Blue, should you be going to a pub right now? It's a big part of his life, it's part of his culture, he's got his friends that he wants to see. You understand that, but it's not the most sensible thing to do, especially if you're a heavy drinker as he is, because all that concern about social distancing, that's going to be very difficult to pull off when your inhibitions are dropping because of the amount of alcohol that's in your system. What else going on this week? I'm supposed to be taking my aunt to the cemetery tomorrow or Wednesday, and a big part of that is that we normally have a coffee afterwards, and I don't know how that's going to work now. I've been thinking that maybe if one of these coffee places across the road from the cemetery, if I think there tend to be about three or four, if a couple of them at least have survived a lockdown but are only offering takeaways, maybe I could just say to my aunt, look, you just sit on a bench here in the cemetery by the gates, and I'll go out, get the coffees, come back, and we'll just sit there and have our coffee before I take her home. I think I'm more concerned about the fact that I'm going to have to jump on several buses now to take her there and back. She's extremely frail now. My uncle's unwell, and generally, so I don't want him having to take her to the bus stop. But obviously, that does increase the risk for me in terms of I now have to get on buses, which you really don't want to be doing in London right now. I think things actually feel more normal indoors for me because of this solitary existence that I've led for a long time now. It is when I go outside, and even when I was leading this solitary existence, preceding the pandemic, been going on for a long time, and I'd go out and things would feel weird because of the lifestyle that I was leading. But obviously the world was going on as normal, and I'd go out and slowly feel my way into this normal world and try and adapt as best as an introvert, a loner could. But now I'm so used to living like this that indoors everything feels relatively normal. It's when I go outside and I'm trying to feel my way back into that world that continues without me that I realize, well, no, actually, the world is not continuing without me. The world has stopped. This is a very different world. You see it. It's just so strange. And I find that it doesn't affect me when I'm out for a run. I'm just running through the park. The park is the park. It's always full of people. But when I'm walking through the back streets and I'm seeing little businesses that have closed down, that have not survived the lockdown, even though they might be businesses and usually are that I've never been in, to see those places closed down, to have a think about the lives behind that closure and what they might have lost, I find that mentally, I find that very difficult to deal with. It's just really, really bleak. And then to come home feeling that bleakness, it's a difficult time. I walked past one of Brixton's biggest cafes. I won't name it. Biggest independent cafes. To be fair, they do good food in there. I don't go in there often, but they do good food. I'm not that big a fan of their coffee, but the food is certainly much better than my cafe's food. And I walked past there, and they were carrying out some work in there. It didn't look like they were ripping up the counters, but it looked like they were making quite a few adaptations in there. And I wondered whether it's work preceding the cafe reopening as a very different kind of cafe, a COVID-19 era cafe, or whether it's simply that they're closing down and something else is going to emerge from that closure. Whatever work was going on in there, it didn't look really cheap, and you just think about what is happening to these businesses and the amount of money that they're having to spend to adapt to see if they can survive in this pandemic age. It is just incredible to see that. You're listening to Daniel Ruiz Tyson. It is available episode 250, sweating the small stuff and the big stuff too now. In this age of COVID 19, I did say it was going to be a long show. I think it's coming up to around 50 minutes now. Quiet weekend for me as usual. I was reading, well, I am reading at the moment, Lori Graham's The Grand Duchess of Nowhere. The story focuses on the real life Victoria Melita, granddaughter of Queen Victoria, who married one of her Romanov cousins and moved from Bavaria to Petrograd. And the story covers the Great War and the Russian Revolution, and mainly focuses on her name. I can't remember why she's called this. She's known as Ducky within her circles, and it features, the Emperor and the Empress of Russia, the Tsar Nicholas, whatever he was, and Rasputin, of course. And it's very good. It's not brilliant, but it's very good. I'm glad I'm reading it. It is one of the dozen or so library books yet to be read, been putting this one off for a while, owing to its unclean state. The first 75 pages were really hard, not in terms of the book itself. As I say, I'm enjoying the book. It's not massively gripping because I did early 20th century Russian history at college, so I know that period, I know the personalities, I know the outcomes. But because it was hard because I was aware of food stuck on page 75. And mentally, I needed to get past that page, and I'm wary because I tend to read in bed, and I don't want anything falling from the book onto the bed. Otherwise, no matter what the time, I'd have to strip the bed. Not sleeping on, I don't care how small it is, I'm not sleeping on some biscuit, a crumb of biscuit that was eaten about 5 years ago and that's been stuck to the pages of this book for years. Now, I don't eat when I'm reading a book, but I get that many people do. And there's no issue with that if it's your own book. But a library book, never mind bushmeat. Never mind bushmeat maybe being responsible for a pandemic. But, maybe pandemics can also be caused by crumbs of food lodged in the pages of library books. And what I don't understand is who reads a heavily borrowed book while eating, even with the latex gloves on. That is a massive hygiene fail. Okay, so I think I'm coming up to the final third of this milestone show. I'll tell you about Saturday's cat nap. I was just too tired not to have the cat nap on Saturday. I just handed myself over to the cat nap like Luke Skywalker turning himself into Vader and the Emperor in Return of the Jedi. This was a really strange dream. It's so weird that I always have vivid dreams in cat naps, but I don't have the vivid dreams anymore in my normal dreaming. I don't even dream that much now. I'd done well last week. I had 4 nights in a row where I didn't do any of the nocturnal coffee drinking. I broke that on Saturday and Sunday just because I wanted to stay up. Tonight I'm aiming to, go back to the cold turkey, just finish off with a coffee, nothing after 1800 hours. And this dream, I found myself, I think I was at my doctor's. And I think from there I might have been transferred to a hospital or some clinic that I'd never been to. And there was something wrong with me. I know that I felt very low in this dream, and I saw a couple of my doctors, and they fitted me with a catheter. And I don't know why, because I've never ever had a catheter. And also, they were inserting this wire through my groin, I think. And I think the reason, I think that might have come from what they did to my dad. And I think what they've done to my uncle since his illness, heart related. So I had these weird things going on. And I'm not going to say it felt painful, but it was very vivid. I could see a lot of detail. And for some reason, they didn't return my underwear. So I was walking around with a t-shirt and nothing on underneath, not even a hospital gown. So just the only thing I was wearing was a t-shirt and socks. I was in this dream and I was trying to make light of my situation visually because I was surrounded by nurses and doctors. And then I saw the urinating man of SW9. He was going to use the loo, which made a change, obviously, because usually he's just urinating on the street. And I said, "Look, I can't talk to you now." I said to the doctors and nurses, "You know who that is?" And they said, "Yeah, we know that's your aunt's neighbor." So I was taken to another room, still didn't get any underwear given. And I remember at some point, some nurse came in, and they do say that you only dream of people that you've met at some point. I think they say that you only dream in black and white. That one I've never been able to understand. And that maybe I don't understand that because I've always thought that I dream in colour. But I was in this room with this nurse, okay, and I think at this stage I still had the catheter fitted. As I say, I don't think I was in pain, but I was aware that my movement was limited. And I was in this room, I was trying to make light of the situation, and she started laughing and she kissed me on the cheek. And I'd never seen her before. This wasn't someone I'd ever seen, not even fleetingly. I didn't recognize this person. And she kissed me on the cheek. And it's weird, when a dream gives you a bit of a bounce for the rest of the day, a nice dream. Well, what I took away from that dream was just how lonely I feel. Here was this dream figure that I'd never met, kissing me in my dream, in my catnap dream, not even a proper dream, a catnap dream, when I had a catheter in me and some wire to inflate some balloon that was going up one of my arteries. There were aspects of that dream that were nice, I think, and the biggest one, I suppose, was being kissed on the cheek. It just made me realize how lonely I feel, despite going to my aunt and uncles and seeing them around and thinking, well, I'm glad I'm not having any of that here in my catnap. I don't know whether there was a message there, but it certainly reinforced just how alone I am. Brighter news, running. I've been doing really well on the running the last few weeks, building up my times again. An incident on Friday, I think, that I tweeted about. There was a runner coming one way. This was on my first lap. He was coming towards me. He was going a bit faster. So, etiquette wise, I thought I'll step off the path, let him run past me. He can have the path. I'm going a bit slower. He went past me. I carried on for a few meters and then I stepped back into the path that we were both on. And his BO was just hanging in the air there and it just enveloped me for a few moments. And I thought, this is the danger of running now in this current age, because if this guy had something, then I would get it. Just by inhaling his BO, I would get it. It absolutely overwhelmed me. It was incredible. I always find it incredible that anyone can go out running and not, or doing anything and not recognizing that they themselves smell like that. So today's run wasn't so great. It was slower, it's warmer in London. It's not a heat wave by any means, but it's certainly significantly warmer than last week. And I'm just not built for running in that level of heat. Even though it wasn't boiling, I knew I was going to struggle. And I made a decision early on. And I'm glad I stuck to it because I was wobbling. On the second lap, I was thinking maybe I can push myself for a third lap. And I think I could have maybe done a third lap, but I think it would have been far more difficult than the three full laps I was doing last week because it was fairly warm. And I think I've just got to, say to myself, okay, look, it is a bit of a step back, but it's also sensible. I got out there, that's the main thing. Came back, blue sky thinking, endorphins kicking in. It's a positive. I've been out there, done something I don't particularly love doing. Third lap wasn't going to be possible. It might be possible on Wednesday if it's cooler weather, if not Friday. The important thing is to get out there and do what I can. So I'm okay with that. Two hygiene fails today, though, which are concerned. Well, one wasn't. Now, because of I'm putting the rubbish out and handling the bins, I'll always take some hand gel with me. I couldn't find my hand gel today. What I was able to find was hand wash from the stockpiling period of the lockdown. I made some homemade hand wash as people were doing in those early weeks. When I put it back in my internal shorts, I hadn't sealed it properly on my first lap. I realized that my right leg was completely wet and it was the homemade hand wash was leaking out of the shorts. So I had to, while I was running, get my hands into my internal shorts, reach into those back pockets. Well, front pockets, which are at the back, because the internal shorts. Where? That one just sounded like it was right outside the building. Right, where was I? Never mind the leak. That's done. Basically, the homemade hand wash leaked in my shorts. The internal shorts keep slipping, partly because I can't tie them up properly. Because they kept slipping a few weeks ago, I did a knot that I just don't have the fingernails to sort out. It might be that I need to find some tweezers to undo the knot. So I'm not able to secure those internal shorts properly, and I'm suffering from a lot of internal short slippage, which are in turn causing problems with the external shorts. And all this comes down to I need, the internal shorts are there because it's the only way I can carry the phone with me. I am looking for a mobile phone holder. But I've only seen them so far in the shops for iPhones 5 and 6. I've got an Android phone, so also I think I need to buy a decent one. I've got one here, it's Velcro, but it just never stays on. So I need to buy something decent, reasonable price. And reasonable price usually means cheap, and it doesn't do what it's meant to do. So it may be that I need to do more than reasonable. I don't know. Rambling. Made the early decision on the run, as I said, no third lap in this weather. The second failure when I came in, second hygiene fail, I was so tired that as I removed my trainers, this was the right shoe, it fell on the carpet, landed in a way where I got away with just wiping the patch of carpet with an antibacterial wipe. It just fallen off the shoe removal mat, but barely made any contact. It had landed on its side, so I was okay with that. If I was not so heavily medicated, I'd have probably panicked and I'd probably got the Hoover out and started hoovering. But I was able to roll with this hygiene fail that was born simply out of tiredness. Now, a quick freelance life ad to bring you. This is a Donny De Silva voiceover, whatever that is. That's the title of the ad. And the blurb is, while you record the voiceover, check the sound, please. It must be without background noises. He spelt noises with a C and echo. Please follow the duration. And here he stresses, be very emotional, please. Thank you. And the fixed price for this freelance job is $5. I think for $5, the emotion that Donnie might be getting in any MP3 samples winging their way back to him might be bordering on the affronted. You can't have emotion for $5, my friend. It's guys like that should not be allowed to place ads for freelance work. Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available, episode 250, a feature-length special edition of this show. Ways to get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at 1607 West Egg. I've got one link now on the blurb. It's a catch-all link for the Instagram and Twitter feeds. It's a Linktree link, so you click on that link and it just takes you through to all the links for all of my work, or most of my work anyway. There's also the Facebook page, facebook.com/DRT is available, as I think I said on the Patreon episode last week, in order to just try and be able to post on that page. I've had to download the Facebook app onto the phone. It's the only way for me to be able to post anything on that page. I don't know how long that situation is going to be dragged out for. It's disappointing. I mean, right now I couldn't even delete that page if I wanted to. And if you want to ever email the show, if you want to get in touch with the show, DRT available at westegg1607.co.uk. Now, what does this sound mean? This sound, of course, means it is this week's Nectar Points update. First of all, Lidl, no budget beans, by the way. Still in Lidl's. Friday's trip to the Brixton store, thankfully that passed off without incident. Some big decisions on my part in there. Thankfully, I was able to focus on these as the Pistons were on their best behaviour. I went for some chicken steaks instead of the breaded fish. Saved myself 6p in the process, and instead of getting two bits of fish, I got four chicken steaks. Hopefully, there is some chicken in those steaks. My breaded fish transportation has been better in the last 2 or 3 weeks, but I just don't like the flat smelling of fish in the evenings and opening the windows here because they're old windows. It's such a pain, and I just save myself a lot of hassle. I'm not really in any rush to be eating fish. Just whacked a cable there. I've got so many cables here. What else from Lidl? Brought in maple and pecan cereal, my number two cereal, although I would say, and I've said it before, number two is harsh really, because there is very little to choose between the maple and pecan and the long established first choice, the honey and peanut. It is the Ron Greenwood rotating Shilton and Clemenson gold back in the late 70s and early 80s situation all over again. Either of these cereals does the job to a very high level. In I suppose shopping related news, I chucked out the Clover light butter. The fridge was packed with budget goods. The Clover had come in during the early lockdown period when I was making homemade hand wash and the stockpilers were leaving very little on the shelves, and I just couldn't get used to the Clover. And through this, I was reminded, well, I learned actually, that I don't like proper butter. I never have. I was still that fussy kid who would cause nightmares for friends' parents because he could only have Blue Band butter. In any, sorry, Blue Band margarine rather, spread in any sandwiches. So I bagged up the Clover, I threw it out, and it was like quietly dropping one of the many features that have failed to work on this show over the last 8 years. Most recently, of course, Sing It, but in the UK accent. Now, I can't remember if I mentioned it on either of last week's episodes. If I did, it might have been on episode 249. I had a troublesome, pricey by my standards yogurt last week, a big tub from Sainsbury's on offer, low fat, well within date, but something had clearly gone wrong with this yogurt. It was very watery. The texture was more like ice cream when it's melted down, and worse still, it didn't taste great. I managed to finish it over a period of days. You know, I'd already chucked out the Clover. I didn't want any more wastage. Food-wise, and I usually mix the yogurt with my lunchtime cereal and fruit, but I was concerned the first couple of days that there might be a price to pay for such a gamble. I was worried about, you know, going down with some food poisoning. I've been okay, but I've been trying to work out why that happened with the yogurt. The yogurt is kept on the top shelf now that I've carried out a thorough investigation of the various fridge issues I was having, you know, dairy products, top two shelves, along with the grated cheese, along with things like fresh pasta and, you know, butter, faux butter, as the case is. The yogurt and what happened to it reminded me of an early 90s expensive Liverpool signing under Graeme Souness. Actually, there were quite a few of those when so few of his costly transfer deals worked out well for the club. That yogurt, I certainly paid good money for it, and it was really disappointing to have to deal with that. Sloth Saturday hit its usual peak with the evening's thin and crispy spicy chicken pizza to calzone conversion, the highlight of the week. Ingredients wise, worth noting the dip in quality. I dropped the cherry tomatoes from the lineup of added ingredients just because it can be messy slicing them up. And in their place came a basic salad tomato from Lidl. Tasteless, absolutely tasteless, those tomatoes. They say one of the symptoms of COVID-19 is you lose your ability to taste anything. And there were moments during the calzone on Saturday evening where experiencing that lack of taste, I thought I might have gone down with the virus until I was able to connect those moments with the basic salad tomatoes being on the end of my fork. Back to the yogurts, I picked up one of two low-fat yogurts in Lidl, 45p a pot. The first one's expiry date was late July. The second one was early August. Now, ideally, I'd have wanted both expiry dates to fall in August, but in the current climate, it would have been wrong for me to have put the July yogurt back, having handled the pot. And it was the right decision because, I wouldn't be happy if other customers were behaving in that way. So it taught me a lesson. If I can have a look at the expiry dates before I pick those items up, and those are lessons that I'll try and put into place ahead of Thursday and Friday's shopping. Right, let's bring you this week's Nectar Points update. Okay, so this was last Thursday on my way to Spanish Carnoustie. My opening balance was 35 points. Picked up skimmed milk, 4 pints. The spicy chicken pizza was in stock. Bought another of those yogurts, which I've opened since, and this one was fine. 2 tins of Sainsbury's own baked beans, as I can't get the Newgate beans in Lidl. Bought some fabric conditioner. Bought a single orange for 28p. Bought a loose bacon potato for 30p. Don't know what I'm going to eat tonight, actually. I had considered a loose bacon potato earlier, a small loose bacon potato, but I think I've got some fresh pasta which I need to cook, none of which is of any interest to you. What you want to know is how many points did I have? How many points did I leave with? Well, I'd gone in with 35 Nectar points, earned 6 points, that's 41 points. The points were worth 20p, and of course, I then paid for in cash the Neighbours Radio Times, £3.30. Earned 3 Nectar points, new points balance of Nectar points worth 22p. That's 44 Nectar points. He said, messing that up slightly. And I picked up the Neighbours OK magazine in WH Smith's. Now, the difficulty is, again, I think for the second week in a row, the neighbour didn't have the right change when she paid me back for the magazines and papers. So I really am having to behave like a bank. I'm having to make sure that I've got enough change at the weekends, both for her and for like small talk. I don't want to be going into the news agents, hanging around, waiting for change from the papers. So I always go in with the exact money, and that's been the case for months now. Which I think is their preference, really. And you try to do everything you can to help the guys out and limit any hand-to-hand interaction. And I don't want to be coming back with any change in my wallet. But I'm having to get the neighbour change, and I think I've got a little petty cash box, which has always got about 70 or 80p in there. I think it would be probably a breach of etiquette if I was to, give a change comprised of 5p's and 2p's, but I don't think the day that that happens is far off. So that's another pandemic era hurdle to overcome at some point. And that is it. On that super anal note, that is it. That is the end of this week's show. Patrons, you get your weekly bonus edition, episode 251, this Thursday. If you do fancy joining those 16, do sign up at patreon.com/DRT. Available, show that page some love. And thank you guys all for listening. If you're not joining us on Thursday, I'm back next Monday with episode 252. Get those shoulders back, keep on walking towards the sun, and keep washing those hands. I shouldn't even have to say it. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson. and this start of the week I have been available.